Lord, we thank you for you. We thank you, your great love. We thank you for giving us life in Jesus. And your word, Holy Spirit, as you make it bring forth the fruit of your good work in our feasting upon it and growing together through the power of you as you show us your heart's delight in your word, the living word, Jesus. Amen. Okay, please stand as we recite the Shema and read the word of the Lord together. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. The reading for this morning is 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel 25. Then Samuel died, and all Israel gathered together and mourned for him, and buried him at his house in Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And it came about while he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name's man was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail, and the woman was intelligent and beautiful in appearance, but the man was harsh and evil in his dealings, and he was a Calebite. That David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel, visit Nabal, and greet him in my name, and thus you shall say, have a long life. Peace be to you, and peace be to your house, and peace be to all that you have. And now I have heard that you have shearers. Now your shepherds have been with us, and we have not insulted them, nor have they missed anything all the days they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we have come on a festive day. Please give whatever you find at hand to your servant, your son David." When David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in David's name. Then they waited. But Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David, and who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants today who are each breaking away from his master. Now shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have slaughtered for my shears and give it to men whose origin I do not know?" So David's young men retraced their way and went back, and they came and told him according to all these words. And David said to his men, "Each of you gird on his sword." So each man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword, and about 400 men went up behind David, while 200 stayed with the baggage. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he scorned them. Yet the men were very good to us, and we were not insulted, nor did we miss anything as long as we went about him while we were in the fields. They were a wall to us, both by night and by day, all the time we were with them tending the sheep. Now therefore, no one consider what you should do, for evil is plotted against our master and against all his household, and he is such a worthless man that no one can speak to him." Then Abigail hurried and took 200 loaves of bread and 2 jugs of wine and 5 sheep already prepared and 5 measures of roasted grain and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and loaded them on donkeys. And she said to her young men, "Go on before me. Behold, I am coming after you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. And it came about as she was riding on her donkey and coming down by the hidden part of the mountain that behold, David and his men were coming down toward her. So she met them. Now David had said, surely in vain I have guarded all that this man has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him. And he has returned me for good. May God do so to the enemies of David, and more also, if by morning I leave as much as one male of any who belong to him. When Abigail saw David, she hurried and dismounted from her donkey and fell on her face before David and bowed herself to the ground. And she fell at his feet and said, on me alone, my Lord, be the blame. And please let your maidservant speak to you and listen to the words of your maidservant. Please do not let my Lord pay attention to this worthless man, Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, since the Lord has restrained you from shedding blood, and from avenging yourself by your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek evil against my Lord be as Nabal. And now let this gift, which your maiden has brought to my Lord, be given to the young men who accompany my Lord. Please forgive the transgression of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you all your days. And should anyone rise up to pursue you and to seek your life, then the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies he will sling out as from the hollow of a sling. And it shall come about, when the Lord shall do for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and shall appoint you ruler over Israel, that this will not cause grief or a troubled heart to my Lord, both by having shed blood without cause and by my Lord having avenged himself. When the Lord shall deal well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. Then David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me, and be your discernment, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from bloodshed and from avenging myself by my own hand. Nevertheless, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has restrained me from harming you, unless you had come quickly to meet me, surely there would not have been left to Nabal until the morning light as much as one male. So David received from her hand what she had brought him, and he said to her, go up to your house in peace. See, I have listened to you and granted your request. Then Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he was holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. So she did not tell him anything at all until the morning light. But it came about in the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, that his wife told him these things. And his heart died within him, so that he became as a stone. And about 10 days later it happened that the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord, who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and has kept back his servant from evil. The Lord has also returned the evil doing of Nabal on his own head. Then David sent a proposal to Abigail to take her as his wife. When the servants of David came to Abigail at Carmel, they spoke to her, saying, David has sent us to you to take you as his wife. And she arose and bowed with her face to the ground, and said, behold, your maidservant is a maid to wash the hands of my, to wash the feet of my Lord's servants. Then Abigail quickly arose and rode on a donkey with her 5 maidens who attended her. And she followed the messengers of David and became his wife. David had also taken Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they both became his wives. Now Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Palti, the son of Laish, who was from Galim. Thus reads the word of God. And please be seated. 1 Samuel 25:32. Then David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me." As we're here before the Lord, reading His Word as His people, we should be struck with a sense of what it means to express the truth that God is to be blessed. This is merely a phrase to some, something said as a customary greeting. However, it needs to be brought into the depth of our beings with the actuality of what it expresses. God is to be blessed in the course of the lives of His people on this earth. God is to be blessed in the manner in which we interact with others. God is to be blessed in the every conversation, every action, and every thought of those who belong to Him. The Lord God Almighty, the altogether awesome One, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the Redeemer and Lord, is to be blessed now and evermore in the dedication, commitment, consecration, and devotion of those who belong to Him. David was giving God the credit and the honor and the praise for the fact that Jehovah had prevented David from carrying out his plan of retribution and indignation against Nabal. It was voiced to all that God had intervened through the wise words of Abigail, and thus he deserved the glory for keeping David from killing Nabal and all the males in that household, including servants and shearers and shepherds. All were spared by the grace and the mercy and the loving intervention of God in His movement in the heart of Abigail. She responded as God directed. Accordingly, therefore, all were acknowledge that this was the hand of God in operation, and thereby give Yahweh the honor and the acclaim and the adoration. This simple statement is filled with the weight of eternity. It is recognition by created beings that the Creator, the Lord God Almighty, is to receive the blessing that He alone is due for the manner in which people obey and honor and trust in Him. This highlights the full measure of what is at the heart of this matter. Does God get the credit, or does the humanity whom He has created? Is it a work of God that prevented the whole house slaughter of all the males of Nabal, including Nabal himself? Or was it the wisdom and forethought of Abigail with her human intuition? That basically sets before us the two world views with which every one of us struggles throughout the day. Does God get the credit for everything, since He is the one who created all and works in every man, woman, and child according to His divine wisdom and knowledge? Or is it the opposing viewpoint that humanity stands or falls by the measure of his or her own common sense and learned abilities, differentiating the manner of each one's behavior. Is it God who deserves all the blessing and the honor and the glory? Or is it all the work of humankind who has somehow evolved into a higher level thinker who determines the fate of each lifetime experience? That is what we have before us every time we believe that we have the ability to decide for ourselves the course of our walk on this earth. David gave God the credit because he was well versed in the manner in which God worked within his life. He honored God and God alone with the intervention into that which would have otherwise stained David's eventual claim as the chosen king of Israel. The murder of this household would have become a beacon call for any who would stand against David, highlighting the fact that David would so murderously exact revenge by his own hand against the very people he was supposedly chosen to lead. Abigail gave voice to this truth. However, as evidenced by both David and Abigail, it was because the Lord had made it known to her. She was willing to obey the Lord and his guidance as her means of wisdom, rather than trusting in her own devices. God was to be blessed because he so created this woman to intervene at this precise time in the history of the entire nation as it was coming into place and soon to be under the kingship of God's own chosen man whose heart was after the Lord. That is the worldview of those who believe in the sovereignty and the divine intervention of God to accomplish his plan and his purpose that has been in place since before the foundations of the earth were even created by his word. Conversely, the other worldview, that of those who decry the idea that there is a God in heaven who rules and overrules in the affairs of humanity, would state that it was all happenstance. It was by human wisdom that this intelligent woman happened to decide to intervene with the events as they were unfolding. This viewpoint would present itself as luck or fortune or simple fate that Abigail decided to bring food and supplies to the man who was so disrespected by her husband. She did what she did out of fear that she would lose everything to the hands of this vengeful man who might become king. Maybe she did it to garner favor in his eyes when he took the throne. He might remember that he had been dissuaded from violence by this woman. There are so many ulterior motivations that are posited rather than admitting that it was by the work of God alone that this event took place. As we know, David chose the view of seeing the hand of God operating with all his sovereignty. We need to look at how we consider each aspect of our day in the terms of, is it God or is it me? Even the smallest items of our day can become a battleground in our heart with respect to trying to take the credit to ourselves. This is in opposition to giving God the thanks and the acknowledged blessing for the manner in which He cares so intimately for His own, and He makes the every provision as each day unfolds. Let us follow the course of this, wondrously seeing the working power of God in place as it is delineated in His Word. Please turn to one of the tremendous accounts that can be traced back to the very feet of Jesus, actually forward to the very feet of Jesus, as was recounted in Genesis 14, 18 through 20. Genesis 14, 18 through 20. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave him tenth of all. Jesus was compared to Melchizedek, the priest of God Most High, who met Abraham after he had rescued his kinsmen from the hands of those marauding kings. They had captured Lot and his household. Melchizedek voiced his blessing upon both Abram and upon God. However, note that in the blessing upon then Abram, there was still full glory given to God and the fact that Abram belonged to God. Then the blessing was fully lavished solely upon Jehovah for the great work that was accomplished through his empowerment and guiding of Abram in that victory. Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. All the focus, all the credit, all the honor, all the praise was centered fully upon God Most High, and the fact that Abram belonged to God and that Abram had obeyed God. The victory was the Lord's, and he alone was due the adoration and the praise and the glory. Thus it is to be in our lives. Every time we accomplish something, it must be the Lord to whom the credit is due. In every manner of each success, it is God who is to be praised and thanked and honored and reverenced in our hearts and with our mouths. And in every failure, it is the Lord whom we recognize as sovereign. He is the one unto whom we look for the manner of His proving Himself great and awesome despite the seeming disappointment of our feeble and frail hands and minds and hearts. Whenever we fail, the Lord is still to be thanked that He intervened to bring us to the place where we will more steadfastly count on Him to pick us up and to make a place for His glory in the ashes and the dust of our discontent and self-resignation. Jehovah will always and forever prove himself glorious and mighty, no matter how meager the works and the deeds of our endeavors. For all things, whether we see them as good or bad, we are still to give God all the praise and the blessing. The next passage we will consider is Genesis 24:27. This was when the servant of Abraham was sent to seek a wife for Isaac. There was a need for the intervention of the Lord with regard to even finding the family from which the young bride would come. The servant went with the instructions of the Lord regarding the manner in which God would show the exact woman he had prepared to be the helpmate of Isaac. This was in the vital capacity of the wife through whom the lineage of the Messiah would be preserved. When the servant was led to Rebekah, he made it very clearly evident that it was God who had brought him to the home of the one who was to become the wife of Isaac. Genesis 24:27. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loving kindness and truth toward my master. As for me, the Lord has guided me in the way to the house of my master's brothers." Jehovah was the one who was to receive the glory and the praise in being the one who was blessed. He had guided this servant to exactly the correct family from whom God's chosen maiden would become the wife of the son of Abraham and Sarah. That choice was vital in that the entire line of Abraham was at stake. If the servant was not obedient and not following the plan of the Lord God Almighty, he could have just gathered any young girl and brought her back to Isaac. But the Lord's plan and purpose was brought forward through the perseverance and the determination of the servant to obey and to find that one so chosen. Thus, as the Lord directed the manner of the choice, so the servant was forthright in declaring that God was to be blessed. Yahweh is ever-loving and faithful and just and majestic in the manner in which he cares for those who belong to him. The next aspect of this consideration is shown to us in Exodus 18:10-11. This was where Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, not only voiced the blessing upon the Lord for the salvation of Moses and the children of Israel and his very own family, but also made known the reality that this provision of God was so recognized. It caused Jethro to see that Yahweh was the God of gods. There was the saving grace and mercy of God in operation, not only for the nation as a whole, but for a singular man to see who God was in the magnitude of what God had accomplished. For that, God was to be blessed forever and forever. Exodus 18:10-11. So Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord who delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of Pharaoh, and who delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods. Indeed, it was proven, dealt proudly against the people. This is an aspect of what needs to take place in the hearts of God's people, in the witness of God unto those who are enabled to behold His awesome work being accomplished. It is part of the great blessing that is brought forth to the glory of God. When He is exalted by those who are the witnesses of His mighty hand in action, there will be that drawing of those hearts and those minds to call out to Him. They will recognize Him as the Lord God Almighty, the only living and true God who holds the whole of His creation in place. There will be that expressed acknowledgement by the entirety of all creation that He alone is to be praised and adored and honored and proclaimed in all His majestic glory. Ezra, in Ezra 7, 27 and 28, expressed the blessing that God was to receive in the course of how the Lord opened even the eyes of the king of Persia, so that Ezra was sent back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple of God. This was no small matter to undertake, and it had to be done with the king's approval and support. It was all because the Lord had moved the king of that mighty empire to bring forth the honor that the God of Israel should receive throughout the world. Ezra 7, 27 and 28. Blessed be the God of our fathers, who has put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to adorn the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem, and has extended loving kindness to me before the king and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes. Thus I was strengthened according to the hand of the Lord my God upon me, and I gathered leading men from Israel to go up with me. Ezra not only received permission for this undertaking, but he received the funding and the support in men, and even in the energy to undertake such a massive task. I don't know if you noticed it when you read that passage, but how the Lord strengthened Ezra to complete this arduous task. Everything was done in accordance with exactly what was needed as the Lord moved the hearts of all to accomplish this. For that miraculous work, God, Yahweh, is to be blessed forever and forever. This brings us back to the matter of our opening consideration, as we will highlight once the heart of David in this situation with Nabal. Please refer to 1 Samuel 25, 39. 1 Samuel 25, 39. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord, who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and has kept back his servant from evil. The Lord has also returned the evil doing of Nabal on his own head. Then David sent a proposal to Abigail to take her as his wife. David blessed the Lord for the manner in which God had prevented David from taking revenge upon Nabal and his whole household. He as well blessed the Lord for the manner in which God intervened against the unrighteousness that was in the heart of Nabal. This is another of those elements of our consideration in that we are to leave everything to the Lord for the manner in which He will deal with all the wrong that takes place in our lives. We are not to try to set things right through revenge or vengeance or any other form of human indignation against those elements of evil that arise against us. We are to bless the Lord for His omnipotence, which overcomes all the forces of darkness, as He will make Himself abundantly and righteously known through His holy and perfect and just and divine integrity. No one will get away with anything devised in the heart of wickedness, because there is no hiding from God. He sees, and He acts in full accordance with the plan and the purpose that He has put forth from before the eternal ages were even in place. Nothing and no one can thwart His holiness and His righteousness and His just retribution against those who would bring the wrath of this age down upon the heads of His children whom He so dearly loves. For that, God is to be eternally blessed by the praises and the adoration of those for whom God has shown Himself the protector and the sustainer and the provider. We will continue with this wonderful proclamation of the majestic honor and praise and glory that God alone deserves the next time we are together. Until then, please ask the Lord to bring forth that blessing from our hearts in increasingly multiplied magnitude to His honor and His glory alone. So be it. Then David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me." Amen.